Everybody, welcome to Therapy After the Hour. You are with your host Liana and your other host Holly. Hey, Holly.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. We have a very cool topic that we're talking about today, and we're going to be talking about food. And we have someone very special with us that we'd like to introduce to you. Marie, please introduce yourself. Let everyone know who you are.
Hi, my name is Marie Groff. I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist. And I'm happy to be here talking about food today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. We have a few topics that we'd kind of like to hit. So I'm going to kind of run down what we'll be talking about and then we'll hop into it. So we're thinking of today, we're going to hit some topics on conflicting messages through social media, kind of residual New Year's resolutions. I know it's March, but hey, if you're still working through those, everyone might be able to relate or not. Who knows where those resolutions are at this point when it comes to healthy eating, dieting, working out. So we'd like to touch on that and then kind of lead right into just athletes and anyone training right now, what their eating habits look like, what red flags and behaviors look like, and kind of what eating healthy and eating enough feels like. So let's see, Holly, where would you like to begin? What's our first question going to be?
I think let's start off with the confusing messages that we see on social media, because it's so prevalent because they're everywhere and it's repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
So especially like as a therapist, when we're working on behavioral modification and it takes consistency and repetition, and they may be getting this false information from social media, they're getting their habit building from these false kind of statements by these people that you don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. So Marie, what are you seeing, you know, firsthand or with clients where they're coming in and, you know, they may be kind of going down a rabbit hole of, you know, what to eat, when to eat, diet fads, you know, stuff like that. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I see a lot of that. We're just inundated, all of us, as clinicians and everyone really in all ages too, anybody exposed to social media. Yeah, it's interesting because it's really glamorized, I think, which exacerbates the problem. But yeah, I see a lot of examples of people suggesting that this or that is a certain way to eat. Oftentimes, what they're suggesting is very restrictive. And that's a problem. It results in undernutrition. It can exacerbate a cycle of, you know, restricting, and then the body finally in a protective stance saying I need nutrition here, and then people end up eating too much on the back end. There's just so much misinformation about there about that is promoting restricting. It's just endless comments about what size people are, what weight they are. And yeah, we have no idea if they're coming from that place, from a healthful place, or from most of them are coming from a very unhealthful space. And a lot of it is exacerbates nutritional deficiencies, which are directly related to things like mood and behavior and just access to energy.
Yeah, I'd agree. I'd feel, I don't know if either of you on TikTok, Holly, I know you're on TikTok.
All the reels.
We send them back and forth. I see a lot of food related, diet related TikToks on my For You page, and I'm sure it comes up for other people too. And it's a lot of the TikTok girlies, influencers, this is what I eat in a day, right? And they have fantastic bodies and they're in the gym and they're doing all of this, and it's providing information that's very personal and individual to them. And a lot of people are using it as a comparison to themselves and are feeling like they're very unrealistic goals to hit, especially with the types of foods that people are eating. Some people, I mean, you could be very specific on TikTok and look up fiber-based, keto-based, vegetarian, protein increase. Like, there's so many different things that people can focus on. And I think there's a lot of information out there that's not really vetted by someone who's a professional. But those who are doing it as a routine for themselves and have been doing it for such a long time that they feel comfortable putting the information out there and sharing it in that way. And I think people forget that it's not coming from a professional. It's coming from someone like you who's learning and maybe has done their research, but it's research individual to their own body. Holly, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely find myself kind of going down different rabbit holes of, eating and fitness and things. And I think it helps, having a therapeutic understanding of what it takes to kind of lose weight in that kind of culture. So for us, sometimes it's easier to get us out of, doom scrolling, really negative kind of toxic viewpoints because we know what that is. So I've actually found myself following a lot of trainers from the UK. A, I love because they're so direct, but they will call you out, right? And they're like, these other trainers and these other people are talking about, hey, I have good genetics, right? I look like this because genetically I was predisposed to be able to look like this. Lower body, percent fat count and stuff like that. These other people, these other influencers don't talk about that. So you're not getting like fully educated of, yeah, I may be eating this way and I may be training, but I also don't have diabetes or all of these other predisposed, having a hard time losing weight. So part of that with like the UK trainers is they talk to you about that, right? And talk about how you make small modifications, right? So I love kind of, when I'm able to talk to Marie and we're able to, talk about clients is being able to come together and be like, all right, this is nutritionally what we need to talk about, but it's also being realistic in how you're modifying your life because you can't do that all or nothing lifestyle change. One guy I love, he talks about how each week, write down what you're eating and then look at it and go, what is one thing that I can change about this? You're making one change per week to build consistency. And I was like, dude, I am taking that and I'm using that because that is brilliant, right? So there's the accountability in just writing it, but then it's recognizing I can make small, realistic change for that. And it doesn't have to be crazy.
What a good idea. Go ahead, Marie.
I think that is such a good point, Holly. And I really like that you brought up the international aspect because I too speak, or I actually have clients from all over the world through my coaching capacity. And it's amazing because as a dietitian, I know that our food supply is different from that in other countries, and that different synthetic chemicals are allowed in the production of our foods compared to other countries. And so I think something important to keep in mind as well, at least from a nutritional aspect, is that oftentimes I hear of clients in other countries who are following certain things, but their access to nutrients is different than it is here in the United States. I have had countless clients move to the United States from Singapore, Europe, other places, and they eat the exact same thing, whatever it is, XYZ for breakfast, XYZ for lunch, and they notice their physiology change. And I don't believe that we are victims, but I do think it's important to be empowered and aware that there is just simply a difference. We're the United States, we're economics driven, we're not necessarily more health conscious driven, just as far as a policy standpoint. And so we know that for one example, that copper burns fat. And because of the way our food supply is set up here, that we have decreased access to copper. And so they say, I don't know why I moved here. I'm working out the exact same. And so just to keep in mind that, with some of the things that we're seeing as well, play out differently here in the States, just because of the environmental differences that we have. Now, there's ways around that, right? We have our RD hacks, our dietitian hacks. We can choose organic, we can choose less processed foods and more whole foods and such. So again, we're not victims, but these things aren't minor contributors to our nutritional access. They are significant. In a recent study, they analyze chicken, for example, and chicken should be high in niacin, vitamin B3, and it had scant amounts. They found that the United States sample of chicken that was not organic, we would have to have 300 servings, which is like 1,800 ounces, which I don't even know how many chickens
Oh my
that is, to
gosh.
just get this
That's
niacin that we
horrifying.
need for energy. As athletes, we all three of us to get it, we need energy, not just to burn fat, but like just to do our sport. And so in the United States, we have decreased access to just these things that run our energetic metabolic pathways.
That is mind-blowing to know
Yeah.
about not organic chicken. First, I would love to know the difference of organic and what makes something not organic, because I feel like those are words that are tossed around in the supermarket. There's lingo there that I don't really understand the difference of. For instance, eggs. What I think would be really nicely explained is what is the difference between, there's so many different variations, free range and organic and this and that. And I feel like some of this lingo is not described, nor is an explanation provided other than on the carton of what it means. But I still feel like there's still some confusion there on, there's so many variations. What is, I don't know, Marie, maybe you could talk on that one.
It's nice, yeah. On one hand, it can seem overwhelming, like so many variations. On the other hand, it can be really simplified. And so, an organic food is not genetically modified, which can be favorable. We do see increased sensitivities and other diseases related to genetic modifications. And then also, it's passed a criteria that certain chemicals that are like glyphosate, for example, that are related to disease have not been used in the processing. So if it's a plant food, then it hasn't been sprayed with something that's a synthetic chemical that's associated with the disease. And if it's an animal food, similarly, it's had not had exposure to that. With eggs, so that would be the same criteria. Organic egg would not be genetically modified, and also wouldn't the chicken wouldn't have been exposed to certain chemicals in the processing. The really interesting thing about eggs is pasture raised is really the best because those are the chickens that have been exposed to sunlight. I mean, we do hear about not the best animal practices again when our top priority is economics, right? And just cranking out as much meat as we can at the lowest price point, which isn't always the best for animal welfare or the best for the nutritional content. So with all products, even beef, poultry, and eggs, it's nice for animals and humans to get outside, get fresh air and sunlight. And so pasture raised are chickens that get outside.
That is very helpful to know. And then just speaking on international foods tasting different, I mean, it really does. It's crazy the difference that I tasted. I'll even give this example. It's a funny one. I went to the Bahamas and I had their Wendy's chicken nuggets. And I swear, those are the best chicken nuggets that I had from Wendy's my whole life. And comparing them to the States chicken nuggets, completely a 180 from taste. The look of the chicken, it was all different, right? And that's such a small comparison, but you taste the difference in the foods. And so I think it's also very important to note that if you're watching trainers who are not in the United States and they're eating these specific things and you copy word for word what they're eating and you look different, it's not you, it's the food.
Yeah, I'm all about personal responsibility, but it is, like I said, a significant contributor. And even international companies that are making our food abroad just simply use different recipes and different ingredients when they're making the version that they're going to be shipping to the United States, even for the same product, like a chicken nugget, for example.
Yeah. That's
Love this.
right. I have so much
Yeah.
knowledge in the
Bam, mic drops. Yeah,
morning.
no, I mean it's so interesting to see like within the States like the focus on abundance and ease and how a lot of people will start to identify like words like organic is like this bougie just lingo. It doesn't really mean anything. So I think a lot of people will steer away from organic. They're like, "Oh, you're just trying to take my money." Kind of scenario, so they don't even look into it.
Yes.
But they're not looking into where you're actually getting caught up. Is where they're making it cheaper and easier. That's where they're actually getting you, right? But people aren't looking at it like that. Like some people are like, oh, I don't want to go to Sprouts and I don't want to go to Whole Foods. They're just trying to take my money. It doesn't really matter, but it does. It does matter.
It does matter, but also accessibility is so hard because have we seen the price of grapes? I went to Trader Joe's yesterday, and why are grapes $6? And it's just, And significant amount of money is going towards produce and meat right now, and it's money that people don't have because why? Inflation, right? Like, I'm gonna do the SpongeBob meme. Inflation. Because it's not easy, right? And people are working 9 to 5s and are not making the money to go be able to secure fresh produce and fresh meat and protein for themselves. And it's so difficult. Marie, what's your take on money and produce and how all of that works together?
Yeah, it's a really good point. So I just really encourage, with choosing local and in season, that also optimizes nutrients as well. Think nutrients are at their highest content when the food is closest to ripeness. So if I had to pick that banana 2 weeks ago for it to make it here and then maybe spend a couple more days in the grocery store before I get it, it was picked 2 weeks before it was fully ripe. It just simply didn't have time to keep building up all the highest potassium content or whatever. So choosing things that are local and in season can be helpful because we're in Florida, for example, and it's not grape season here right now. So I would expect that to have a high price point. The other thing is I really appreciate a friend of mine from the military, and he says the people that do the best in a crisis, and you all probably are more versed at this than myself, but it applies nutritionally, are those that are able to have real-time discernment and make adjustments. And the reality is that ideally all of our food would be organic, right? That we would have values that say, like some countries, we're just not going to allow after the 20th study or something X chemical into our food supply. But with the fact that that hasn't happened, what it would look like in this situation would having real-time discernment that inflation is very high and it's a real thing, and making spending to our adjustments. We're coming off of, I'm not an economist, but 50 years or something of relatively low food prices, of decent, overall incomes in the United States. And so we've created this environment where our values are things like taking vacations, maybe having, nicer vehicles, perhaps being able to have indulgences like specialty coffee drinks from coffee shops, when perhaps, an adjustment to our budget and our values is more important, an investment in our health, recognizing that it is a higher price point to have higher nutrients to foods from things like organic, and that it is true, something would have to give. Maybe not having our specialty coffee drinks, maybe foregoing vacations, what not to impose values, but just recognizing that we're in this high inflation space where real-time discernment towards our health, putting our health at a higher priority would mean something else would have to be adjusted.
Yeah, I want to piggyback off that a little bit, and kind of the whole thing that we're talking about. So, and I've noticed this for me personally, is that when you have a tendency to overeat, right, you're looking for the cheap buy, right? But if you go into organic and you're modifying the quantities that you're eating, like I know for me, I was spending more on my food technically, like per item, but I was actually spending less overall because I wasn't eating 10 servings, right? Plus, you're also getting more nutrients in a smaller amount. And like Marie's talking about, what am I eating, 100 chicken breasts just to get like the nutritional value that I would need? I'd rather get
Crazy.
3 organic and cut those up for the week. Right? So yeah, that pack may be more expensive than this bulk of 10, but I'm getting more nutrition out of these 3 breasts. And I'm also more concerned of I'm not eating double my serving of that. Right?
And it really makes sense, and I don't believe in guilt and shame, but I think, it really makes sense at why we could get done with a robust meal that technically has more than enough calories, but still not be satisfied. If I literally didn't have access to niacin or copper or whatever may have been low, which these things are low in our American food supply, you know, that's not organic, then it makes all kinds of sense why we would want to keep eating. Our body is giving important signals. Like, I still need something here. Yeah, I'm okay on calories, but I have had zero niacin and I need that to run my cells.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think also going back to what you were talking about before, Marie, about, I think a big word here is compromise. It's having that own discernment and having to decide what really reflects values. And I think we've talked a little bit about values on here, Holly, maybe not, but people feel misaligned when they're not doing things that reflect their values. And I think this is going to go hand in hand with food, right? If I'm feeling bloated, or if I'm feeling like I just am tired, lazy, unmotivated, and my values are not reflected in those feelings, and I want to be a driven individual, I want to feel accomplished, I want to feel successful, and if I'm eating food that doesn't reflect that, that's not going to come through my actions. And so when people feel misaligned, then mood changes, right? And it's so easy to see the connection here between food and mood and personality, right? And so if we don't feed our bodies the way that we're supposed to, and in the ways that we need, our mood is going to be affected. And when our mood is affected, then our behaviors start changing, right? And then we start isolating, or we start withdrawing, and then we wonder why, what's happening. And it could be as simple as, I'm not getting enough vitamin D because I'm not going outside. And that is literally what I tell so many of my clients, is they're sad, they're down, they're angry, go outside for a walk for 15 minutes and just let the sun heal you like it would a flower or a plant, right? Because I think vitamin D is so, so important. And yes, we get it here in the wonderful sunny state of Florida, but not everybody gets so much sun. So Marie, I'm wondering.
It's also hot as hell.
Hot. It wasn't though for a while.
<You'll>... It's been nice.
It's been a little cool, crisp 60 over here.
We have been spoiled a little bit.
Yeah, but some people just aren't getting the sun that they need. Marie, what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. There are specific nutrients like vitamin D. And by the way, if you can't get outside during some months, first of all, even up north during the gray months, those rays that make vitamin D still come through the clouds, even when there's no shadow and it's gray for like 5 months in a row. But additionally, there's supplements like cod liver oil that can be taken, which may sound old school, but it is actually a very effective and natural supplement. We have so many people on synthetic vitamin D, which is very popular, but it denatures vitamin A. Some of these other synthetic supplements end up having unintended consequences. But there are specific nutrients that are so important. The other thing too is, you know, if we think a couple generations ago, humans were outside perhaps most of the time. And even when they were inside, they weren't exposed to the artificial lighting and the blue light. And we know that blue light from our devices has a negative effect on things like vitamin D and other processes that affect our overall health and our mood specifically, which is, in your wheelhouse. So it's very important to have outdoor time and to minimize exposure to blue light.
I always wonder about blue light. Yeah, everyone has those blue light glasses and everyone talks about it. And I always wonder how effective those things are. But it's good to know people are on screens 24/7 these days. I don't know who doesn't have some kind of screen in front of them. Kindergartners are using iPads to start learning, right? And we're not so much using those terrible sounding chalkboards or even a nice smart board with an Expo marker. I feel like kids are getting shown images and videos so much earlier than even my generation as a 90s baby was being shown. And I'm sure this would be such an interesting topic to tail off of and talk to someone who works with kids and shows developmentally how that's changed their brain structure, right? But I think all of this, we're all so impacted, and a lot of it's not really our choice at the end of the day, because that's where society's at.
What I noticed too with eating and food is that all of this screen time, in addition to it having a negative effect on our health and our specifically our nutrition, is that it It distracts us, maybe dissociate is a strong word or not appropriate. You guys know that better than I do, but at least from a nutrition standpoint, it distracts us from our body. So we can, when we can be aware of our body, focused on our body, then we're most in tune with, hey, am I getting enough here? What am I hungry for? How hungry am I? How full am I? Our body is, the human body is amazing at giving these cues. But it's very easy to get out of touch with those cues or to not listen to them. And the more that we're on these, you know, really fast clip TikTok things and just on screens, the more distracted we are from our own body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely, I see that a lot. And, you know, I use a lot of like mindfulness with people. So like mindful eating or just being in the moment when you're doing things, because you'll either see, and we used to see this with TV where you'd finish off a bag of chips and not even realize you ate them. But now I'm seeing other people that don't eat at all. Like I'm struggling with some clients that they're doing so much screen time, they're not eating and they're not sleeping.
Sleep.
So it's kind of actually going to this alternative of not, I'm having an abundance of food because I'm not even realizing I'm eating, to I'm not doing anything external from this device that's in front of me. So it's like this whole new kind of mental health piece that's coming into it of like, this hyper focused of I can't stop. Same thing with gaming, right? Mm-hmm. Where you get involved in these games, and I've had clients not sleep for 24, 48 hours. Like, I'm like, what? What is happening? There's like eating disorders creeping out of like these behavioral pieces.
Holly, like, yes. Oh, yes. No, I want to touch on that because my sister just visited me for her spring break, and she's at college right now. And she, her eating habits, babe, I love you, but those eating habits were not great. They were not great. And she came here to my house and I had food here and I wanted her to eat. And she did not eat. Even when we went grocery shopping, she didn't eat the foods that we picked out or the snacks that she could have had. She just, very minimal diet, right? And you know how college students joke about, I'll just have air for dinner. I joked about it because I was one of those college students and that was me. And I'm going to call myself out because sometimes you're too tired to go to the food hall or sometimes you just didn't have the money to go do it or whatever the case was. But college student diet is tough and it is so hard to watch because now me in my mid-20s, I'm seeing how important it is to feed your body the right food or else I'm not going to want to wake up in the morning and have the energy to go do work. It's so important to feed yourself the foods that you need. And seeing her diet, which is just one example of however many college students there are out there that are just not eating correctly. Marie, I'm wondering if you could talk on the red alerts that our body gives us that maybe we've gotten too accustomed to ignoring, that we need to start paying attention to when we start maybe are deficient in vitamins or are really hungry and are not eating. Could you talk on that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's interesting, right? We've moved from like what Holly suggested, like maybe a half hour TV show where a bag of whatever the heck disappeared, to that really going into like not a half an hour, not an hour, but like a day, several days, a week, a month, like a lifestyle of not eating or overeating or like not awareness with eating. But yeah, I see that as well. Many people who are, you know, in their room gaming for days at a time and not eating, and they are really undernourished, let alone not getting adequate vitamin D and from the sun and such. And so, yeah, I think that we, you know, have an idea like, oh, if I'm hungry, I'll have like some certain symptoms, like my stomach will be rumbling or something. But hunger can look like so many things. It can look like frustrated, irritated, depressed, mm-hmm. tired, you know, hangry, if you will. It can come out headachy. Is so many different ways that aren't just kind of a traditional, like, oh, my stomach is rumbling. And so oftentimes it'll, or if we're distracted enough, we may not notice anything. And we may just have to take a break from gaming, knowing that our body needs fuel in order to function well. And even though I can keep living and functioning, I'm not doing it well, even though it's happening. Where nutrients are very depleted, and over time, this results in changes in mood and physiology and increased disease.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting now with society how normalized not eating has become.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this conversation's even making me think, like, especially different, like, generations. So the younger generations don't even realize they have a problem. They're just like, oh, I'm just not hungry. They don't recognize that's an issue. Your body is supposed to become hungry. Completely unaware.
I know.
And I was like, wait a second. Like, I'm having to go through, like, symptoms and behaviors to let them know, hey, you either have disordered eating or a full-blown eating disorder at this point. And they're completely unaware. They're like, what do you mean? And I was like, when was the last time you had a full meal?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea. Mm-hmm. And they're just drinking coffee.
Yes. Not
recognizing that your body is thinking you're consuming food.
On empty stomachs, drinking coffee on empty stomachs. And that was me too. One of my New Year's resolutions was to at least drink a cup of water before I had my morning cup of coffee. So I had something clean in my stomach and not something immediately so acidic that I was just, you know, my acid reflux girlies or men, whomever, I suffer from it. And so when I have coffee and it's just on an empty stomach, I don't do well the next few hours because I'm struggling with just everything in my body not wanting to function the way that it could have been functioning had I put something in it first before immediately going to coffee.
And the energy drinks.
Yes.
Please talk about energy drinks.
Energy. Oh Marie, God. Please.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. It's a paradox, right? It's false advertising because energy drinks are stimulants. It's different than making ATP. It's a stimulant. It's stimulating our brain, but it's not actually producing normal energy channels. And so it's a myth or something. For example, Celsius has more caffeine than Red Bull, but they've put in some B vitamins, but that does not negate the negative effect of getting that much caffeine. And so it's a real problem. It's not giving us actual real energy. And I would say that the behavior, the sort of drive or need to keep gaming is to stay distracted from our bodies. Like, why do we have to keep gaming so much? Because if we took a break from gaming, we would start noticing our body's cues. So I've got to, like, go back to it, right, to stay distracted. Because sure, if I just take a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even an hour off of gaming, it may not be enough time to get back in touch with my body that it's, like, really shouting at me that it's hungry in various ways. But, you know, if I took a day, a week, a month, that would be enough time. But then that can be, an interesting place because I might get back in touch with other things in my life. And this is more in your area of things that I don't want to face, just hard human things, like in addition to natural hunger, loneliness, or, you know, whatever else are things that are so hard as humans that we have to experience sometimes.
Yeah. No, I mean, all good points. And this is leading into a population that I think we did want to touch on. We have a few minutes. I kind of did want to get into this one a little bit. Our athletic population and energy drinks are sometimes their best friends, right? Because of those early morning workouts and just strict schedules, not enough sleep time. You need energy. You need to get it from somewhere, right? And so I want to kind of quickly go into just eating right, eating healthy, and training. And what that looks like. Because as an athlete myself, when I was playing in school, yeah, they kind of had us on a regimen. We had food meals that we could get from the cafeteria that, you know, that we had scheduled and that they made sure that we were eating, right? But those who are athletes outside of college and are adults and are trying to do all of this at the same time, we're not on a meal plan. We don't have that many swipes to go make sure we have food accessible right next to us. And so, Marie, I was wondering if you could touch on just healthy eating, training, and what that looks like.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, ideally, we would use food for fuel, right, and minimize other stimulants like caffeine. They can have a place as long as it's not excessive. And we know, just basic parameters, we don't have to have it portioned out to us by a college dietitian or something who's managing our meals, we can use general principles. Like, we know that a relatively high protein diet is great for us athletes. We know that a diet more moderate in carbohydrates, which can simply be done by focusing on whole foods and minimizing processed foods, that's enough. And that a diet that contains fat is important. We need fat in order to make copper bioavailable, and copper is really important for performance. And so just making sure that those things are included. We used to associate saturated fats with heart disease. We know now, especially for athletes, that it's important because we are now seeing things like choline deficiency and these other deficiencies that can affect performance. And choline is robust in things like eggs. We know now that the natural form of selenium and vitamin A and vitamin D are robust in butter. And so including some things like butter and other saturated fats like coconut and coconut oil have an important role for athletes. Those would just be some basic principles that would get us there. Keeping in mind, too, that as athletes, some of the general principles don't apply, right? The American Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics will say things like, a low-sodium diet is favorable. And so, sure, compared to the amount of sodium that the average American eats, we're just looking at huge aggregate numbers of millions of Americans, and then technically the aggregate sodium needs. But for athletes, we know that, especially here in Florida or anywhere doing a lot of training, that their sodium needs are higher. And so we'll read these robust studies, and then we'll say at the end, but really paying attention to our own cues of if we're kind of craving salt is the best way. And that's true for many of these nutritional equations. We'll try to make up these fancy things, and then the researchers will say at the end, there's no logarithm that we can find. I mean, the human body is smarter than any equation, any logarithm, any app. And so that's why not being distracted, and even as athletes, especially as athletes, by being in tune with our own body and what it's craving, what it's hungry for, we can really use that intuitive eating space to meet our nutritional needs.
Mm. Yes.
Yes.
I wanted to kind of chime in a little bit because I've kind of taken my own journey, and I know we wanted to kind of touch base a little bit on New Year's resolutions. And I know for me, I had focused on career, and I was going to focus more on career again this year, which it is an aspect, but I'm noticing, like, health-wise, I'm needing to kind of take the reins. So I've started, training for triathlons, but now I'm recognizing I need to figure out how to fuel my own body, right? And it's different when you're an elite athlete and you have people modifying. Like, I'm watching these and they're pricking their ears to check their levels, and they have all of this stuff. But I'm like, when you're just an average person that has your own thing. So I was recently diagnosed with diabetes. So it's like when you're trying to do these things and you're like, I'm swimming and I'm going hard, but then I'm like, I'm popping out of the pool, falling over. I'm like, I don't have, some medical staff coming over and pricking my ear trying to figure out what my levels are, checking my pulse ox. I'm like, I might be dying.
That's so true. That's like life alert.
I don't have my dietitian and my med staff on hand. So it's like trying to figure out, like, how does my average Joe body that's trying to do something healthy keep doing it consistently when I'm like, I can work hard, but then I don't know how to fuel appropriately. Right. So that's where, for a lot of people, like somebody like Marie, if you're able to have access, or that may be what happens when you're doom scrolling and you're like, I need to figure out what I'm doing. Right. Because I'm trying to do better, but I don't know because I don't have staff on hand to get help. Like, how do I manage these things?
Oh my God.
As your common person trying to do more. So kind of, Marie, like, what is kind of your take with that person that's trying to become more active, but may have some, health restrictions where, you know, they're like, have sodium, don't have sodium. I have my doctor like, lower your sodium, but then I have these people that I'm running next to that are like eating salt sticks, and I'm like, well,
angel devil.
What am I doing?
That's a good question. Yeah, I think that's where our real-time discernment comes in. And to just like take it outside of ourselves for a minute, we could say, let's say for a patient in kidney failure, which is different than us, but a person in kidney failure, they have to really watch, for example, their you know, phosphorus intake. Okay, dairy foods happen to be high in phosphorus. Athletes need a lot of phosphorus. So we can't say some blanket statement like dairy foods are healthy or unhealthy, right? For a person in kidney failure, that would be a really unhealthy food for them at the time. For an athlete, that's like the difference in between, you know, getting out of the pool or crawling out of the pool. And so, having this type of discernment of what is my body wanting, because it will signal to us if we listen to it. And then again, you know, just going back to taking an investment in my own health, we're investing this time, right, to train and to exercise and such. And then just in the 2024s, it's a financial investment as well of choosing, you know, I see the people, and it's admirable, because I think a generation or two ago to choose the lowest price point for foods was very responsible, because the foods that we had access to did not have the genetic modifications that are going on now. Did not have, I mean, some of the synthetic chemicals only existed in a lab, and now they're in our water. And mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it can boil down to general principles for just our regular person who has other medical conditions going on, of optimizing whole foods, minimizing processed foods, optimizing organic foods, minimizing non-organic foods, having clean water. I mean, just those several things can make a world of difference as far as our absorption and bioavailability of nutrients.
Hmm. Marie, I have two more questions for you. I don't know. How are you on time?
I mean, Holly, you tell me. Do you have someone at 10?
I do, but they can hold on a second. They need me to understand this. Hold on.
Go for it then.
So the first part is, what is your thoughts on people consuming gels during their workouts?
Good question.
Yeah, I mean, that could provide, especially so if it's a longer term workout, you know, in a shorter workout, a half an hour, an hour or something, that unless it's a person with really brittle type 1 diabetes and they're having, you know, to just really monitor glucose levels like every 10 minutes. But for the average person, you know, keep in mind, it's not necessary for a short term workout to our mm-hmm. body, our liver. When our glucose goes low, our liver makes glucose. Like, we get it. Our body has things in storage. It has iron in storage. It has calcium, magnesium, phosphorus in storage. It stores most things. And so for short-term things, it's just not necessary. I'd rather fuel before, during, or after with just regular food. However, for longer term, you know, more endurance type stuff, you know, half marathon, marathon, longer term stuff, then it could be appropriate and helpful. Just again, considering what other ingredients mm-hmm. we could think of some of those as contaminants are in there. And if it's a net positive for our body, or if something that's in there is sabotaging the process overall. So I think they have a place in longer term things, but.
My last one was, I don't know if you noticed this yet, because the trends with like Ozempic in those shots now are becoming more relevant. I'm actually starting to see people that have restrictive eating that are purposely using these off-brand. They're not even getting the prescription part. So, Marie, have you started seeing like individuals that are starting to use these shots as a form of modifying their bodies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everybody's doing it, right? Mm-hmm. And so, it's very common. It's socially accepted and applauded in my experience in our culture, which is concerning. It's perpetuating undernutrition. It's perpetuating us being distracted from our body's own signals. It promotes disease. It's unfavorable.
Yeah, no, that is definitely a fad that is going around, because I'm seeing hashtags of body bio Ozempic, and it's like, oh my god, I know that stuff is, it's prescribed for a reason, right? And it should be regulated. And this is definitely a conversation that we can continue to have in another episode, because Marie, I've had such a good time having this conversation with you and Holly this morning, because it's been so eye-opening. Even some of the smallest stuff that we talked about, I think, is going to have a big impact on those that are listening who aren't as familiar with some of the terms that we started introducing today, such as the difference between organic and non-organic. That was even helpful for me to understand, and some of the vitamins that you named that are just helpful to have on a day-to-day basis. All of this has been super enlightening, and I wish we had more time, but we'll just have to circle back and do this again at another point. But Marie, I just want to thank you so much. And if you had any last words to say, go for it.
Oh, I just really appreciate the work that you all are doing and the opportunity to chime in on these topics that are just so timely right now. And I'm happy to be a resource for you all and anyone at Marie Graf, G-R-A-F, Wellness. And I think that it's, you know, we're really in a hopeful, empowered place too, because in addition to the challenges that we have with our food supply and such, we also are in a place where we have access to information. Mm-hmm. And so that can be super empowering. So I do see us in an empowered, hopeful, and healthful space. And I'm really happy to be able to discuss these things with you all.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. And I definitely hope we can do this again. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of the talks that we've had, you know, over the couple months, like, they're not a one and done kind of segment. And I feel like this is one that is so relevant for so many different people. We all eat.
Yes.
We have to eat. It's relevant to pretty much everybody.
We all eat. Unless
you're, everybody eats. Sometimes it's a shocker. But I think this is going to be something, you know, if you're on board, that we can kind of do ongoing, maybe every couple months, you know, talk about like what we're seeing in real time, you know, and try to get the kind of the real deal, right? Like, yeah. What is real right now? Because it can be super confusing, even to the trained eye, when you're watching these things on TV, and it's confusing. So I think this is a good place to try to clear that up.
No, I agree 100%. And I'm going to plug all of us real quick. We have openings in our schedule. Tampa Bay Area Counseling Group, please message us. Reach out to admin, because we do have special connection to Marie, and we would like for you all to have access to her as well. And so if you feel like you are struggling, or even just want more knowledge and just want to meet with us so that you can have a referral through us to Marie, please don't hesitate to come and try it out, because we are happy to accommodate for anyone who is interested in learning more or is in need of any help. So please reach out. We appreciate you guys listening. If anyone, as always, have any questions or anything that you'd like to know more about on this topic, reach out to us through our social media, email us, call us, whatever you got to do, do it.